Here we go.
There's a drive.
Welcome into the drive.
It's all about intensity.
Swing and a drive.
Don't get out tough. Don't let them rain threes on you.
High drive to left field.
That was incredible.
The drive and the two.
I think this team showed their full arsenal.
The drive of the game.
So what? The teams are coming after you. Go after them.
Fully impressed with the team effort.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Lon finally hit the irrational button.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman,
Brad Underwood,
Brett Bielema, Illinois football coach. How are you, sir?
Let's go for a little ride.
Well, good morning. It is The Drive with Tay and Piper. Lante, Derek Piper. A tired, exhausted, worn-out Derek Piper.
Does it almost
feel like you play the games when you're...
I'm doing more work than the coaches, I can tell you that.
They're just sitting there watching.
Well, here's the deal. So, Brad and Jeff Alexander yesterday talking on Sunday about their plans to go back to Champaign. And
yeah.
Brad's like, I'm going to fly the private jet over to Birmingham, watch a game.
Okay.
Come back, pick you up. Chester's coming with me. Tyler's going to meet us, and then we'll all take the private bird back to Champaign.
I'm like, you are kidding me.
Sounds nice. I got 8.5 hours, and then there's two accidents around Nashville, and that adds another two and a half hours.
Oh.
Got home about 2 a.m. last night.
Nice, smooth 10-11 hour drive from Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been nice if Brad could have just given you a ride.
I know, right?
Did you check the rates?
No, I didn't.
I didn't know.
Well, see, he could have set his own because it's the Illinois plane.
I mean, $100.
Yeah. They were on the phone, actually, with a manager. I'm not giving away too much. I'm sure not. This is usual standard business
right.
for a big-time high-major program. They're on the phone with a manager. They're like, Chester's car's in Chicago, and he's riding back with us, so I need someone to drive up to Chicago, get his car, drive it back. Could you put it? And I was like, could you put it in order for someone to come down to Atlanta? I don't even need it like tomorrow.
Right.
Maybe by the end of next week, if I can go back with you guys as well, if they want to come scoop mine.
Yeah, they could have flown back, then returned to get you. I mean, I'm sure that pilot had. I mean, could Hans not have jumped in at that point to come get you?
He probably could.
I think
he's probably flying Brad's plane now.
He probably is.
The other guy probably got fired.
Yeah, I bet you anything, though, Hans would have. He would have pulled some. Strings to get you on there. You know, he would have done that. We'll talk about what Derek is talking about and where he's been. Trevor Valise is here as well. We have the Home Run Derby. It is officially the worst week of sports. It happens every year. It didn't happen last year, oddly, in COVID. Like, I bet this week last year we probably had, like, NFL games going on or something. We didn't. But, I mean, it was just such a weird year. I guess that'd be the one good thing about COVID. Two good things. I became a TBT fan, which that thing's coming up. We're going to have to look into that a little more. And then we didn't have to deal with the All-Star break, or maybe we did. I just don't remember and don't want to. But essentially, you have no sports for the next 4 days, except for the All-Star game tomorrow night. But you do have the Home Run Derby. Real quick, do you get into this?
I do.
Okay. Trevor, do you get into the Home Run Derby? I mean, is this must-watch TV?
For some reason, it is one of my favorite
events
of the entire year. I don't even know why. Every time I get hyped for it, and then like halfway through it, I have a moment where I'm like, okay, we're just listening to Berman go back. The camera angle's terrible. I don't know if he's still doing it.
I
love the Home Run Derby.
Okay. See, I feel like this is my Ryder Cup for you guys. It's not like that. This isn't your favorite thing ever. My Ryder Cup, when that rolls around, it's my favorite event ever. But I feel like I'm... Not one of the. I know there's a lot of golf people that watch the Ryder Cup, but like I get crazy over it. This thing, I could care less if I watch. I'm always in it for the high school kids out in center field trying to track down. There's like 30 of them, and they like run into each other trying to track down fly balls. That's like my favorite part of it, I think. So you've got
and
that.
And you're just
tonight.
Hoping for the collision.
Yeah. Right.
And if you're not mid sip of a. Soda.
It's like, oh my, that was a good one in deep center. Yeah, it's really, that's what it seems like to me. But we'll talk about the Home Run Derby. In fact, we're going to give our predictions in the 5 o'clock hour on that. At
you can catch a really good one. Like, Alonzo, when he won in 19, I think it was him and Vladdy Jr. in the final. Like, that was a really good one. I remember Judge. I think at Yankee Stadium put on a show.
Ken Griffey back in the day.
Yeah.
No, I won't lie to you. When it first started, like back then, I really honestly was a fan. And I think I've just not, I don't know, I've just come to the point now where I'm not a big fan of it.
It has to hit right.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that. No pun intended with the hitting. But like Derek said, there's some where it's just like, okay, so Stanton had 30, everybody else had 10.
Exactly.
You know, there wasn't one that went 600 feet. But I feel like we're A, in Colorado.
Oh,
which
yes,
good call. Is a ridiculous park for home runs.
Good
and
call.
B, we've actually got a really good lineup of hitters. So I'm excited.
I want to know if Juan Soto, every time whoever pitches to him throws a ball, if he's going to do that little shimmy look at the pitching coach. And if the pitching coach finally just throws the ball down and walks off the, and he's just like, you're not doing that to me. That will be the one thing I look forward to. He's facing Shohei. So I assume Soto is the eight seed.
That's
in this
correct,
thing?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll talk about that and break that down as we go. Jason Anderson, who didn't give up a lot of home runs as a pitcher out of Danville, I was looking at his stats today, 14-1 his senior year at Danville. Of course, pitched for Illinois, was an unbelievable pitcher for Illinois for 2 years, and then was drafted in the first round by the New York Yankees. Jason, now the baseball coach, and has been, at Eastern Illinois University. They had a young man, a shortstop, Trey Sweeney, was drafted 20th overall by the Yankees. It was right around where the Cardinals drafted and the Cubs and White Sox. They all drafted right around that same area. We can break that down as we go along, but we're going to visit with Jason Anderson at 420, ask him about Trey Sweeney. And, you know, I mean, this kid obviously has got some skill. I read a report on him, and it said that he doesn't have a lot of speed, so they maybe project him to play a different spot in the majors. But certainly being 20th overall selected, pretty good deal. So we'll talk to Jason at 420. Let's talk basketball, Derek Piper. You were following a lot of basketball, but before we get there, Illinois has a new assistant coach. You called this about a month ago. I know a lot of people were riding the Brian Randall train thinking that, well, it's taken this long. They must be waiting for him to get done in the NBA. You said it, and you don't ever boast about things like this, but you were right. You basically mentioned that Brian Randall's got a great spot on a NBA team that is in the finals. I don't know that he's going to come back and coach at Illinois as an assistant coach. So you were right there. You were also right about Tim Anderson. You mentioned it back then. What can he bring to this coaching staff? How nice is it finally to just have it done?
That is really nice.
Did you have a story ready to roll, I guess? Because it came out pretty quick.
We've had it ready for a while. I think Jeremy had put together a nice little quick story there, but we haven't officially closed the book on the entire staff because there's still Jeff Alexander's old position, the assistant to the head coach, and there are, you mentioned Randall, some that are still hoping that maybe Randall would take that. Come on, like, he's an assistant coach on a team that's in the NBA Finals,
right?
And he has shot up the ranks in the NBA so fast that we had him on last summer, and it sounded like a guy that was really comfortable in the NBA, just likes the
development part.
The development part, right. And just what that job entails in the NBA versus, you know, in college. If you were one of those three assistants, you got to recruit. And Tim Anderson, as far as that goes, I know that we talked about Alan Huss from Creighton and other guys that Illinois was involved with and talking to. If you would have told me back at the very forefront that Tim Anderson was one of the guys, I would have said that, yeah, that makes a lot of sense because you want to have someone, or it makes sense to have someone that is tied into Chicago that could go up there. And yeah, are you going to have complications now where it's funny that you've been married to whatever you want to say with Mac Irvin Fire. Now he's a Mean Streets guy. What does that mean?
Okay.
But he's very well respected as far as his development abilities because he has a training program that he started before he was an assistant at DePaul, trained Anthony Davis, trained a bunch of pros, and has gotten some really good reviews out of those guys. So as far as his ability to work with guys on the floor, there was really good things said about him. He recruited well at DePaul, which is a program that hasn't had much success.
Right.
Was able to get a couple of top 100 guys. And again, like, if you don't hire someone from Chicago, everyone in Chicago is mad at you. If you hire somebody from a certain program, maybe some people are mad at you, but at least he knows how to navigate Chicago and knows what that's like and has pre-established relationships there. So I think it makes a lot of sense.
Besides bringing kids in, is his number one goal to just kind of make amends with everybody up there? Not only Mac Irvin, not make amends. It's not like they're enemies, but is his goal to at least be able to visit with Mac Irvin Fire, to be able to visit with the Illinois Wolves? I mean, is that kind of the goal, or can we, and I know this isn't, you know, this is a hard question for you to answer, but if you're an Illinois fan, can you basically now just look at whoever is on the mean streets and say, all right, you got a shot at them, you don't have a shot at these other guys?
It remains to be seen.
Okay.
I would say that there is an interesting part of just the way those two AAU programs are constructed for, say, this recruiting class versus 2023. To answer about relationships with different programs, Jeff Alexander has been the point man on the Illinois Wolves.
Got it.
They've been a focal point with Braden Huff, with Jaden Shute.
Sure.
With a couple of guys in their younger classes as well. So Jeff, and I think he will continue to be the lead man of, you know, having that relationship with Mike Mullins and those kind of players. Tim, obviously, with Mean Streets, where you would have liked a chance at Jalen Washington, who was a five-star out of Gary, Indiana, who committed to North Carolina over the weekend. Spent a nice little stretch for North Carolina on the recruiting trail. A.J. Casey out of Whitney Young is one that you're going to look at. Now, he has dropped here in the rankings of late. He was a bona fide five-star, now about in that 50 to 60 range overall.
Still pretty stinking good.
I mean, it's still pretty good.
Okay.
Still considered the top player in the state. So that will be interesting to see kind of Illinois' approach now, especially with Tim. But in 2023, it's the Fire that are absolutely loaded.
Okay.
Versus Mean Streets that, not so much. So is Tim going to be the guy that works both of those? Because with Chin, it was like Chin's got everything in state.
Okay.
And to be completely honest with you, that for the Fire, it was great.
Right.
And look, getting Io, if Chin was, and I'm not going to just give it all to Chin, but if Chin was a big part of getting Io, which he was, it was worth missing on guys for like 5 years based on who Io was here. But it wasn't great with the Wolves. It wasn't great with Mean Streets. Anybody that was a non-Fire guy from the end of the state, it just didn't really work. So I think this staff can approach it differently. Maybe Chester Frazier goes in with the Fire. So
makes sense. You'd have one for each program.
As long as you recruit them hard and you continue to win, there's going to be complications. There's going to be egos. There's going to be stuff that's going to be frustrating because that's recruiting.
Yeah, exactly.
But you can do a good job up there and be a really good option.
I'm going to ask you at the end of this hour a lot more about that. I have more questions about that. I'm sure some Illini fans have questions as well. What we're going to do is take a quick break. When we come back, Jason Anderson, Eastern Illinois baseball coach, his shortstop, Trey Sweeney, drafted 20th overall by the New York Yankees. Quick break. Come back to talk to Coach Anderson right after this. It is The Drive.
When your car breaks down, you realize just how much you need it. And when it breaks down, Beaumont Alignment Plus steps up. For routine maintenance like brakes, oil changes, tune-ups, batteries, and tires, you can count on Beaumont Alignment Plus. Bigger issues, including alignment, suspension work, starters, alternators, transmission, require specialists. So get to know Beaumont Alignment Plus for your vehicle repairs. With locations on Bloomington Road and Denison Drive in Champaign, you're never far from the help you need. It's good to know the quality service is still affordable at Beaumont Alignment Plus.
Hi, I'm Habib Habib. We're back with John Maxwell's Live to Lead this year at the iHotel. Go to HabibHabib.com and buy your tickets. Let's get inspired and shake off the cobwebs from our brains after a very tough year. We will be in the new large conference room at the iHotel Friday, October 8th. Go to HabibHabib.com and buy tickets for you and for your whole team. Every attendee will receive a copy of my new book that will be published this year. Buy your tickets and come and get inspired with me. HabibHabib.com.
On Friday, July 16th, the Cardinals take on the Giants. And that night, 30,000 fans, 16 and older, will take home a unique Willie McGee bobblehead gnome. This special, one-of-a-kind item is sure to be a great addition to any bobblehead gnome collection. That's Friday, July 16th, the Cardinals, the Giants, and the Willie McGee bobblehead gnome. Get your tickets today at cardinals.com/promotions. The St. Louis Cardinals, time to fly. The Cardinals host the Giants July 17th. That night, 30,000 fans, 16 and older, take home a white Paul Goldschmidt jersey, courtesy of Wells Fargo Advisors. Sunday, July 18th, it's the kids' turn. That day, 12,000 kids, ages 15 and younger, receive a kids' Goldschmidt jersey. Thanks to St. Louis Children's Hospital. Get your tickets. Cards Giants at cardinals.com/promotions.
Hey fans, this is Paul Goldschmidt. Cardinals baseball, time to fly.
Hey Illini fans, it's Mike Gold Jr. Catch Lonte and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lonte, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise is here. He's studying up on his home run derby predictions. So, are we doing a draft on this? Are we all taking guys? Or we could, I guess. Well, Trevor will work on that as we go along. More about Tim Anderson, new Illinois basketball coach. I also want to ask Derek if we've heard anything on Kofi. He was down. Did you see him down in Atlanta?
I did, yeah.
Okay. He was, like, taking pictures with guys. And
we didn't go out to eat or anything, but okay. We were around the same people.
And you could talk to him, just the coaches couldn't. So, interesting stuff, as always. We'll get more into that as we go along. But right now, great news for the Eastern Illinois Panthers baseball team. Trey Sweeney, the shortstop, drafted 20th overall by the New York Yankees. And joining us now, EIU baseball coach Jason Anderson. Coach, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, guys. How you been?
We have been great, my friend. It's great to hear your voice. I know the stud for Danville, of course, drafted by the Yankees. He did his thing. You know what that was like, Jason, to be hearing your name in the MLB draft. What was it like for Trey? Did you feel like he was going to, A, be a number one pick or, you know, a top first-round pick? And when you had a chance to talk to Trey afterwards, what was that like?
Well, you know, I knew he was going to be a top pick. You know, I knew it was going to be, at least I was thinking bottom of the first, top of the second round. But I also knew he really, really impressed teams throughout the year. And so I knew there was a good chance that, you know, somebody was going to like him enough to really make the jump and take him in the first round. And, you know, here come the Yankees. And so, you know, just really, really exciting and great for him and his family. But, you know, he's been swamped. He was one of eight guys that they flew out there for the draft and the home run derby and the All-Star game. And so he has been swamped with interviews. You know, last couple of years we've had guys drafted by the Royals and
sure.
Some other teams where, you know, we've had to do a couple interviews. But with the Yankees, it's never ending.
That's awesome. Jason Anderson, our guest. As a guy that was drafted yourself, Jason, what's the next 24, 48 hours like for Trey Sweeney after he hears his name?
Oh, man. And like I said, with the Yankees, there's so much media. I mean, I've been doing interviews all day, so I can't imagine the things that they're probably having him do with the YES Network and everything else. But just, you know, him being out there for the draft, I know he was hanging out with Hall of Famers yesterday. And you know, just watching it and seeing him on there and seeing Eastern Illinois all over the place, it was really a cool experience.
Hey, Jason, Trey was the first team All-American in EIU history, the OVC Player of the Year as well. What does he bring to the table? I know he's a lefty as far as hitting, throws right, 6'4". But what have you seen from him that made him a certified number one or first-round draft pick for the Yankees?
Oh, man, it's an all-around package with Trey. I mean, he's obviously got size, 6'4", left-handed power hitter. He can hit doubles. He can hit home runs. Put up numbers. I think he struck out 24 times on the year and had that many extra base hits.
Wow.
Plays shortstop flawlessly, 93 across the infield, can run. And as a person, he is All-American boy from Louisville. Great mentality, hard worker, coachable, great family, great student. You name it, you can't find any knocks on him.
Now, he realizes that he's got to strike out a lot more in Major League Baseball, right?
Well, I hope not. If he takes anything I've taught him, around our place, you know, if you strike out, you're not going to be out there very long.
And I love it.
You know, I guess we're still a little old school.
I love it, Jason.
Coach, you mentioned, you know, seeing the Panthers up there being picked in the first round. What does that mean for your program to have someone go that high in the draft?
Well, it's obviously exciting. You know, it's great for the university. It's great for the athletic department. It's exciting for all of us. I mean, we've had a pretty good run. I think I've been at Eastern for 9 years. We've had 9 guys going to professional baseball, 3 of them with the Yankees. You know, we had the first rounder this year. We had a 5th rounder last year. We had 2 guys the year before. And so we've really been able to develop guys and get them onto professional baseball.
Jason, I know there's a comment here from Brian Cashman. Brian Cashman. I had to stop for a minute. Says, quote, "We love Trey's makeup, smart with good instincts." Does that kind of describe Trey?
Yeah, it's just kind of putting it mildly. It is truly the whole package. There's so many different things they can do with him. I mean, he can play shortstop at the professional level, but he's got a thinner 6-foot frame, and so you know, they can bulk him up and make him more of a power hitter, put him on the corner infield, corner outfield. You know, baseball is all about that versatility, and as he works his way up, you know, he's not going to be blocked anywhere. If he hits, he's going to find his way to New York, and you know, that's the ultimate goal.
It might be a loose comparison here, but you know, a guy from Illinois State, Paul DeJong, of course, who plays for the Cardinals, a guy that is known for, you know, hitting 25 home runs in a season. Is that kind of what we're looking at with a guy like Trey Sweeney, or is that not a good comparison, you think, in terms of that?
That's probably about the closest comparison I would put to him as a shortstop, because he's a bigger guy that has the range and the consistency in the arm to stick at shortstop, and he's going to hit for power, and he's going to hit for average. And so the only real difference is that, you know, one's left-handed, one's right-handed.
Coach, how aggressive is he on the base path? Because, you know, as the Yankees shortstop, you might get the benefit of the doubt, particularly at home plate in Oakland, maybe in the playoffs.
not crazy aggressive. You know, we're trying to keep him off the ground as much as possible this year. And so who knows what they'll do with him when they get a hold of him.
Are the Yankees looking at probably somebody like him? I mean, Jason, you know, he went undrafted out of high school and, of course, comes to Eastern. You guys, you've developed him and helped develop him, with him doing a lot of that work as well, into a first-round pick in Major League Baseball. Have the Yankees mentioned, you know, the fact that it seems like this kid is still on the rise with regards to how talented he can be?
Yeah, I just think, I mean, this year our games were just swamped with scouts. Like, you get to watch this guy one time and you see how special he is. And so, you know, they would bring in cross checkers that I think were probably overlooking him a little bit because we're little old Eastern Illinois. And as soon as they saw him, they were making plans to come back the next week. And so I could really tell that he was impressing teams, and the Yankees were definitely one of those teams because they just kept bringing guys in. I think, you know, everybody had to come through at least twice to see him, you know, from the upper level scouting department.
Did Trey Sweeney have any idea who Stan Royer was?
He does now.
Yeah, right.
He does now for sure. You know, our alumni are tremendous, and Stan's one of those guys. I mean, Kevin Seitzer.
Yes.
You know, we've got a pretty good history. I mean, Kevin will come through, you know, about every other year.
Awesome.
You know, as long as they're not in the playoffs, and work with our hitters, and really he spends the night with the, you know, Coach McDevitt still. It's pretty impressive.
That's so cool. And those are a couple of guys back in my day, you know, that played good baseball for Eastern Illinois, Kevin Seitzer and such. All right, Jason, I know you kind of answered the fact that the Yankees, you know, there's a lot of interviews, media interviews, et cetera, but the Big Apple, man, I mean, this is the organization when it comes to baseball, 27 World Series titles. I mean, it's just, you know, obviously around here we're Cubs, Cardinals fans, but certainly the Yankees name carries so much tradition, carries so much, you know, power, if you will. What were you able to tell him in terms of, or what will you tell him in terms of, look, I understand, you know, as a guy that was drafted by the Yankees, I understand what that kind of all, you know, it's almost awesome to think about. What can you tell him about that organization going forward?
Well, with Trey, I don't have to tell him much. You know, he's been as easy of a guy to coach. And so, like, there's nobody that's going to be harder on him than himself. And so, you know, he's going to, you know, they're going to fire away at him being a first-round pick for the Yankees. They're going to try to pick him apart. You know, everything that goes bad, he'll hear about it. He can handle it all. But, you know, when you actually get to New York, it's different. There is a ton of eyes on you. You know, and I experienced it. I was there at 23 years old. And so, you know, I always share my experiences with these guys. Try not to overdo it too much. But as far as mentality, he's going to be as prepared as anybody. You know, the thing I do talk to these guys a lot about is the minor leagues. Because that's where people have a really jaded idea of what the minor leagues actually are.
Sure.
You know, it's rough, and there's no, you know, there's no coddling. It's every day you're showing up to the field. Numbers matter. Guys are getting cuts. Careers are ending. You got to know how to handle it, and you got to know how to prepare. And that is something I talk to these guys a lot about. And so he'll go in there ready to work.
Do you know as a top pick in the first round, I mean, will he follow? I know you don't know this for sure, but will he do the Class A to Double A, Triple A? I know that doesn't even work much anymore either, that they might skip him through Double A and get to Triple A, et cetera. But does he start at low rookie ball? Have they said anything? Or are we too early in the process to know any of that?
I mean, I don't know for sure, but I would expect you at least go to High A. You know, I think the quicker they get him in front of the better pitchers, the faster he's going to start adjusting to them. And, you know, it's hard to hit, period. But professional baseball and the pitchers, with what they're doing now, it's unbelievable. And so, you know, it's a challenge. But, you know, if he gets out on the field with those guys, he'll feel like he belongs and he'll adjust to them. And I think that's what will lead to success.
What a great thing. How about your Eastern Illinois baseball team? How's it going to look next season?
Well, this is the third year in a row we've lost a draft pick, a junior draft. And so we keep reloading. It's going to be really hard to replace him.
Sure.
But, you know, the thing I love about what we've built there is just a really great culture. We got guys that are there for the right reasons, that work hard, they're coachable. It's really, really a great situation to coach. I truly enjoy it. So these guys, I can throw any obstacle at them. I mean, we faced the Arkansas. We went into Kansas State and faced Jordan Wicks this year. He was drafted by the Cubs one pick after Trey. It's just what I try to do is challenge them as much as possible.
You know, we got a lot of Cubs fans that listening, and I was we were going to mention Wicks, but what was your kind of report on him for all the Cubs fans out there? Did you like what you saw?
Oh, he's going to be great. I've been in college baseball for a long time now, and he is one of the best pitchers I've seen.
Wow.
Reminds me a lot of John Lester, but against us, I mean, just the poise, threw hard, threw strikes, good slider, good changeup. He's going to get up there quick and really be able to help them.
Good stuff. Eastern Illinois baseball coach Jason Anderson, I got one more. The first night you kind of went out in Manhattan as a New York Yankee player, what was that like? Were you like just kind of like walking around going, I'm on the Yankees, dude?
Well, you know, it's crazy because, you know, growing up in, you know, Danville, Petersburg, Indiana, you know, I'm a pretty small town. I didn't go very far for college. And so getting there, it was definitely a culture shock. But I blend into a crowd pretty well. But, you know, when you're on the subway and people recognize you, it really takes you back, and I did not realize that as many people would recognize me. And so it was a little intimidating.
I bet.
You definitely got to be on your toes because you mess up even a little bit there, and they'll be all over you.
Oh, I can't imagine what that was like dealing with the media. Well, Jason, we'll have to do that again. I know you've been on with us before. We'll have to catch up with you again sometime and just talk to you about your career and the majors and how things went, of course, here at the U of I. Played here for the Illini. So just great stuff. And you say Petersburg. Shout out to Peyton's Barbecue over there in Petersburg, Indiana.
That's right.
That's right. Good stuff. Hey, Jason, it's always great to visit with you, my friend. Congratulations on continuing to produce. I mean, it's kind of that, you know, that good and bad because you're like, well, hold on a second. I still got Trey Sweeney for another year. You can't have him. But unfortunately, he's gone. So you got to make up ground for that. But, Jason, congrats on what you're doing down there, buddy. It's always great to catch up.
All right, thanks for having me on, guys.
Okay, Jason Anderson, Eastern Illinois baseball coach. I like his Twitter. It's at Pitchin09, and it's PITCHN09. I like that, at Pitchin09. Jason Anderson was really good coming up as a pitcher, and of course, Illinois could tell you that. Illinois fans could talk all about him. And I don't know that he maybe had the major league career, obviously, that he expected or wanted, but certainly a really cool thing. And now you've got a kid like Trey Sweeney that is taken 20th overall by the Yankees. It's nice, Derek, to be 6'4 and be able to put on some muscle and be able to be 6'4 and fluid enough to go handle shortstop.
That sounds nice.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, I know I always bring this up, and I do mean to most of the time, but you didn't think, we didn't have many 6'4 guys back in the day, and those guys weren't playing shortstop, right? I mean, it was just like you were the pitcher or nothing else, maybe DH'd. And now you've got 6'4, 6'6. I mean, these guys are all just huge, and that's what it's like. It was interesting, the comp with Paul DeJong. I know Cardinals fans, me specifically, really down on Paul DeJong right now and his ability to just basically get hits. But, you know, he's a guy that can provide power, and if that's what Trey Sweeney can do, that'd be a big thing for the Yankees, certainly going forward. But, man, yeah, would you like to be like, oh, so you're the next Derek Jeter?
That would be a little tough. Now, I am reading this MLB.com article on him, which says good plate discipline, strong exit velocity, all that stuff that you really
enjoy. That I mean, just plate discipline, love.
You love hearing a lot of strikeouts.
I did that.
So, plus arm, and it says chance that he may move to third as a pro.
Okay.
Like you were mentioning earlier.
Yeah, because one of the scouts I read, not scouts, one of the reports I read mentioned that he's not the fastest of foot, so he may end up switching to another position, and third base seems perfect. You're used to that side of the field with your vision in terms of short to third, and then you don't have to cover as much ground, but you got to have that good arm, which I'm guessing Trey Sweeney has. But, yeah, what, he only struck out 24 times in college. Is that even legal anymore? I didn't know if that was something that – is there something we can check now on that just to make sure he's doing something – not doing something wrong? It's crazy. Congrats to Trey Sweeney. Good stuff there. He's still at the draft, so we didn't get a chance to talk to him, but it was fun to visit with Jason Anderson on that.
I don't really like the Cubs getting another John Lester, though.
I know. Trevor, can you join us real quick before we take a break? I know the Cardinals and Cubs both selected pitchers in the first round. The Cardinals selected a young man out of UC Santa Barbara. He is a kid that I think was a sophomore and kind of fits the role of what the Cardinals usually go after when it comes to a pitcher. They like that college guy that's got a little bit of seasoning. I think he was maybe a junior, actually, because I think he threw in relief the first 2 years, used to be a shortstop, and I can't think of his name. McGeaney?
McGreevy.
McGreevy, okay. So that's him, and the Cardinals selected him. They also selected a kid in the second round by the last name of Baez, who has a lot of power.
Uh-oh.
Trevor. And a lot of, like, Baseball America predicted he would go, like, top 30. He ended up going 54 to the Cardinals. But a lot of times that has stuff to do with money and how much money you have.
The draft is so weird because you can't trade picks
in
baseball, which is another part of this. But you have to, like, make your slot meet the amount of money that slot dictates. So, like, if somebody, like Kumar Rocker, the Vanderbilt kid, slipped out of, he was supposed to go, like, second or 31, 10th to the Mets. The Mets now have to, like, wildly overpay.
That's crazy.
For him, because as the 10th slot, that wasn't, like, the amount of money allotted to that slot or something.
Right. No, it's weird.
Which makes no sense. I don't understand it at all. But teams will, like, purposefully, not necessarily punt, but they'll take, like, a project in the first round that was supposed to go 75th overall because they don't want to spend the money.
Yeah, it's true. It's crazy. And I think the Cardinals now will overpay.
Right. So to your point, back to your point there with Baez, is then other teams who maybe will have more money cleared up can now pick somebody in the second round that was supposed to go top 20.
Yeah, exactly.
Because everybody else didn't want to pay for him.
It's crazy. This Baez kid, they said, could ultimately hit 35 home runs a year in Major League Baseball. I'll wait and see if that happens. Jordan Walker, by the way, I think I mentioned this. The Wicks? Cardinals' first pick. Oh. No, hold on. We're going to get to the Cubs. My fault. Walker, the kid that the Cardinals took first last year, he's kind of a big third baseman / first baseman. He's playing in Peoria, and he has got unbelievable power. So if you have a chance to run over to the Peoria Chiefs game, not that far away, and it's a quick little drive over to watch that. All right, Jordan Wicks. You heard it from Jason Anderson, John Lester type. I read something today that they said left-handed-wise, I think, he's the best pitcher to come out of this draft. I mean, Leiter's really good. He was a righty, of course, and went number two overall. The catcher went number one, Davis, from Louisville. Yeah. He went to the Pirates number one. Leiter went two. Are you pretty excited about Jordan Wicks, with the idea that you don't know much about him? But it sounds like he is a guy that can make a quick, they were saying by 2022, he could be in the bigs.
A lot of this is confirmation bias, because I'd be lying to you if I said I knew who this guy was more than 24 hours ago. So then they get him, and I hear 10 good things about him, and I go, all right, we nailed that
just
pick.
Just did it.
I didn't even know he existed more than 24 hours ago.
Which is exactly what most people would say.
I don't think anyone is walking away from that first round after reading their beat writers' tweets going, well, we totally screwed the pooch on that one. Like, right. I just don't think that's happening.
A lot of shortstops went but in this draft.
I will say that I generally speaking, to the point that you made and to the point that other scouts have made about how quickly he could rise and what an impact he could have, I am pleased in the general sense to see that because it sort of backs up what Hoyer was saying about this is a retool, not a rebuild.
It's a good call.
And maybe I would have a little bit more trepidation about that being true if they picked some 17-year-old high school kid who, you know, so at least they're going with like a proven college arm that could rise quickly. So at least that sort of backs up his point of like, I'd like to compete again next year, even that's if I'm fair. Selling pieces off now. So that's really my only macro take.
That's good.
From
no,
that.
That was.
But they said he has
fair.
The best changeup in the draft.
Okay.
He's a lefty. You might have Rowan Wick, Brad Wick with an E, and then Jordan Wicks in your in your pen. So
who'd the Sox get? They were like 20.
Colson Montgomery.
Is he pitcher?
Again, no.
No.
Again,
shortstop. Shortstop.
This was one of those things where I saw on Twitter, the Sox got their guy. They've been talking about him all week, and I thought,
Tim Anderson's not very good out at short.
I mean, sure, I guess they got their guy. I didn't know he existed until 5 seconds ago.
I had heard of Trey Sweeney down at Eastern Illinois, so I'll say that I had heard of Trey, but you're right. Other than that, I never heard of the kid the Cardinals drafted.
And then I guess the other big headline was just that Rocker fell that far.
Yeah.
The Vanderbilt
that
pitcher.
That is kind of weird that he was.
Because I think he was supposed to go maybe fifth to the Royals, and then the Royals kind of punted, and he slid all the way to 10th to the Mets. So
related to John Rocker?
Yeah. Oh, no.
No.
I can tell you that, no. Different temperament, maybe. John Rocker, man. All right, what comes first? Kofi makes his decision, or the Cubs start trading a bunch of players?
Like chronologically, you mean, or what we're going to talk about?
What will I sit down at this microphone and talk about first? Either, hey, Kofi made a decision, blah, or wow, the Cubs dealt, blah.
Well, if Trevor can incite me on when the Cubs would likely sell off, I could then say over or under.
Got it. Do you have any idea, Trevor?
I have a hard time believing it would happen right now.
Okay.
I have to think that they'll leverage as much as they
can. Yeah, because you got till July 30.
Of course, the problem is, and I hate when they do this, Hoyer comes out and says, we're selling everybody. What kind of leverage does that give you?
Right.
Now, maybe you're still going to get great deals, but if I walked in today and I said, I am looking to give away money, and then I lose all high ground
said,
that I potentially had with you guys.
I have to trade my car today, or sell my car.
Right. That's the worst thing you could say.
I have to sell it today. Right. Then I'm going to offer you a lowball amount.
I don't think it does much to the offers. I just think it's kind of weird that you come out and announce everybody's on the table and I'm accepting anything.
Let's go.
That seems like a strange strategy.
I agree.
I would say like July 23rd.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Over under, Derek?
This is
like a game show.
Close.
We should have done the... All right. The contestants are Trevor Valise and Derek Piper.
That's next Friday.
Next Friday. First question to Trevor Valise. When will the Cubs start moving players?
By next weekend.
Okay, Derek Piper. Will Kofi Coburn be back with Illinois or with someone else by next weekend?
Probably not.
Okay. Isn't that fun?
By the end of the month.
Wow, is it going to take that long?
It might.
If I lose Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Javi Baez, and Kofi Coburn from my life in the span of one weekend, I might just quit.
Can I tell you one analogy that happened to me this weekend? Trevor knows about it. The Yankees, speaking of the Yankees, it's all coming together. And speaking of Tim Anderson, the White Sox shortstop is not who Illinois hired, but we will talk more about Tim Anderson here in a second. The New York Yankees went into the All-Star break like I went into the All-Star break betting. Did you hear about this, Pipes? So the Yankees had a 5-run lead in the ninth inning and lost. And now they go into the All-Star break with that hanging over them. And then they, I think, play Thursday night against the Red Sox. They're the first game back against the Red Sox.
And it was, by the way, to Altuve that they gave up a walk-off home run.
Oh, my
the
goodness.
The guy who cheated off of them.
Oh.
And then he ripped his shirt off around the bases to show them that he wasn't wearing a wire.
That's right.
So
he didn't do this yesterday, though, did he? He didn't rip his shirt off yesterday.
No, he did.
Oh, he did
when
that?
When he hit the walk-off home run, he took his shirt off.
Oh, I didn't see that.
To show them that he wasn't wearing anything.
Okay. Well, speaking of that, going into the break where I don't have to bet now for like 4 days, and I'm glad about that, Derek, yesterday, just on a whim, I'm like, I'm gonna bet. You know how you and I and Trevor, we always have like an odd amount in our thing, so we put, so I bet $13 to make it back to an even number on Kyle Busch to win the race in Atlanta yesterday. The payout was like $100. Kyle Busch finished second. Do you know who beat him? His brother, Kurt, won the race. I'm like, I'm done!
That's brutal.
And both of them basically led the race the entire time. It was either Kurt or Kyle leading the race, and Kurt ends up winning it.
Oh, man.
I just was sitting there going, really? And I don't like either Bush brother, so the fact that I had to root for one of them was bad. All right, when we come back, I'm going to get to the bottom of AAU ball and Tim Anderson and Illinois basketball. Does that make sense? Any of that? We're going to talk Illinois basketball recruiting next. That's all you need to know. It's the drive.
The dog days of summer are here. Maybe you have laundry piling up before your family vacation, or your garage refrigerator has conked out from the extreme heat. Go to Dick Van Dyke Appliance World for a brand new high-capacity laundry pair or a new fridge that fits that garage budget perfectly, all with a free 10-year protection plan covered by their in-house award-winning service team. Start your appliance shopping now at appliance-world.com.
You have money laying all around your house. You just don't know it. And no, I don't mean selling your great-grandma's good china. I mean all the old metal items you don't want to use or get rid of. Don't pay someone to haul it away. Bring it into Max Twin City Recycling and get paid to have it taken off your hands. They love new customers and are more than willing to walk you through their process step by step. Come check them out at 2808 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana.
Starting it over is what we do at Max Twin City Recycling.
Do you want to do something nice for your family? How about the gift of time and less work? Introducing the Wash and Dry Club from Country Squire Cleaners. Every week, Country Squire will come to your home in Champaign, Urbana, Savoy, and Mahomet and deliver it back to your home 3 days later. Laundry done, $25 a week for 25 pounds. The Wash and Dry Club, Country Squire Cleaners, Round Barn in Champaign. Call 356-9422 for complete details. 356-9422. Call today.
When it comes to your family and their safety, security is always at the top of the list. Having a trustworthy and reliable security system is one of those things you just can't afford to get wrong. Barcom Security understands the threats you face. Why? Because they're local and family-owned. No corporate phone messages, no long wait times, no miscommunications. Join the many Central Illinois residents who sleep soundly knowing they're protected by Barcom. Visit them today, barcomsecurity.com.
Barcom Security. Have a secure day.
The St. Louis Cardinals and Stever are proud to offer fans a special ticket rate for the Cardinals-Giants series the weekend of the 16th, 17th, and 18th of July. For just $25, you'll have access to 100 level box seats. That's almost 75% off normal face value. To access this exclusive deal, visit cardinals.com/Stever. That's cardinals.com/Stever. Don't miss out on this great opportunity to catch a game at Busch Stadium this summer. And don't forget to sign up for Stever today at gostever.com. Go Cardinals!
PDR Automotive has been in business since 1973. That's 12 presidential elections. PDR can service your vehicle, whether it's powered by gasoline, diesel fuel, hybrid, or totally electric. Change is inevitable, but one thing you can always count on being consistent is PDR and their ability to service your vehicle no matter what you drive. Specializing in advanced electrical systems. Online at PDRauto.com. Remember, when you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481.
Hi, it's Diane Ducey with my friends at Profile. And you've heard me talk about the terrific experience I've had working with my Profile health coach. I had no idea when I talked with the team at Profile by Sanford that I could lose 65 pounds within 6 or 8 months. I got to my goal and I'm staying there. Profile provides members like me so many great tools to keep the weight off. Don't wait. Call Profile by Sanford at 217-403-9080. Use the promo code DD for Diane Ducey for that special discount. Visit profileplan.com.
The Champaign County Fair is coming our way.
The Champaign County Fair has some terrific concerts.
Reserve your seat now in the grandstand or on the track.
Gary Allen starts off on July 22nd.
Make arrangements now for your VIP party pit passes or get your reserved box seats for 5 or 6 people as we start up the fair Thursday, July 22nd with Gary Allen.
So you stand
with Travis Denning opening the show. Aiden, what's the website for details?
ChampaignCountyFair.cc.
Yeah, baby.
Hey, this hour of the drive is brought to you by Rector Construction. Rector is the reliable roofing, construction, and remodeling company in Central Illinois. From roofing to siding to custom designs and remodels, Rector is the team that you can trust to get the job done right. Giving back to the community is their key mission, as their main desire is to better help the Champaign-Urbana area. Visit their website today, rectorconstruction.com, to see their full list of services, or call or text them 217-281-7000. That's 217-281-7000.
All right, it is The Drive with Tay and Piper, Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise here as well. Next hour, we're going to get Derek's notes from the AAU circuit. I know you have been busy in Birmingham and Atlanta the last few days. We'll also give our predictions on the Home Run Derby, which is tonight. The All-Star game is tomorrow night. The Futures game was yesterday. I know Matthew Libertor started the game. Nolan Gorman went 1-for-2. Libertor had a perfect 1-2-3 inning. I'm not sure if the Cubbies had a player in the Futures game. I don't know. I didn't notice that if they did. So did they, Trevor?
Yeah, the guy who hit 2 home runs and was named the MVP of the game.
Oh, I see. I didn't know this.
Brennan Davis.
Wow.
He went deep twice.
Now, that's not the catcher that used to look at the...
No, that was Taylor Davis.
Oh, Taylor Davis. Okay. Brennan Davis, what does he play? Is he like an outfielder? Okay. That's pretty impressive.
Could he be their top prospect for sure.
Maybe play for Jason Hayward next year?
He is their top prospect as of right now.
Got it.
He plays outfield and he's in AA ETA next year.
Dang. All right, I did not realize that. I'm glad you told me that. Is Hayward, is he done after this year, contract-wise? No.
Oh, boy. They signed him to a massive deal. I think he still has 2 more years.
Oh, he'll be the Matt Carpenter before it's done.
He's negative point something in defensive run saved, so he's actually bad in the outfield compared to the average outfielder.
Which
and he's
is
hitting
weird.
Like, and he's hitting like 180. So, I mean, if you lose the gold glove just because of age, I don't really know what he brings you in any. That's just such a long contract.
Help get you a World Series.
Yep.
But you're right. It's just one of those where, isn't it better just to cut the guy and just, I mean, the Cardinals, should they just not cut Matt Carpenter this year?
I said that from the very
outset.
Now, if you still got to pay him the money, that's.
Well, I mean, you're paying him anyway,
but
so you're paying him to hit 100.
Would you rather see someone get those at-bats?
Right.
Yeah, I would.
The sad thing for the Cardinals, they don't have anybody to come up and get those bats.
That really is the...
That's the rub,
isn't it?
That's worse, maybe, than Matt Carpenter making $18 million getting the bat.
Just throw Nolan Gorman in there. Can he not...
Exactly. Seriously.
Play second or whatever.
Or just do what Carp's doing? I know they want him to get at-bats, and he's struggled a little bit doing that. So, I don't know. We'll see. Bring Jordan Walker up. Let him come off the bench and hit dingers. What'd the kids say, the Little League World Series? My name is blah, 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 and I hit dingers. I hit dingers or something. That was awesome. we're kind of late in the hour, so I apologize for you that are tuning in to hear this about Tim Anderson, new Illinois basketball coach. Talked a little bit about him to start the show. I'm going to save it for the start of next hour. We'll talk about that hire and what it means to Illinois and how he fits with this coaching staff with Chester and Jeff Alexander.
We're also going to talk some Kofi.
Yes.
And one thing I should mention, I can throw in late here. So Tim is not going to start till the end of the month.
You might have
read that in the press release.
Yep.
He's been working with some guys, pre-draft workouts. Also, he's going to be down at Peach Jam. Like, his really good buddy runs EYBL. So he's helping run all of Peach Jam, which is a week and a half this year.
Starting
on Wednesday, going all the way through the live period this weekend, the live period next week. So that's where he's going to be.
Is that where you'll be?
Unfortunately, no.
Oh.
Nope. No general public, no parents, and a very restricted list of media that I did not make.
And that's because?
COVID.
Got it. But you were in Birmingham and Atlanta.
I was.
So you were able to see a lot of that. And we'll get more on Tim Anderson, the fact that he won't start until the end of July. So he's got a nice connection then with the AAU. Which is important.
He gets to be around everybody there when other coaches aren't allowed to be there. So he's got some open access here the next couple of weeks, and Illinois has put it out there now, like, hey, he's not technically working for us yet, but that's our guy.
That's our guy. He was sitting next to Brad Underwood.
He was at an event in June a couple weeks ago.
Okay. You had it all along thinking that he'd be the guy, but did that kind of solidify it for you when you're like,
Yeah, seeing that, they're watching, I think it was Jaden Shute and that team that he was playing for, Yorkville Christian. So that confirmed it. But for a while, I mean, this has been, people would say, not a very well-kept secret, not really tried to be too well-kept. But yeah, that was kind of like, okay, for sure, he's coming.
So we'll talk Kofi, we'll talk Tim Anderson, what it means for him to join this staff at Illinois. We'll also get notes from the AAU circuit, and we'll count the number of yawns that Trevor has because I had your mic on.
Nice.
Right there, and I was like, what is that noise? And I looked over, and you were yawning.
I didn't. It was no offense to what Derek was saying. It just, just came out.
What was amazing is that I looked over and saw you yawn, and I didn't yawn.
That is amazing.
That is, seriously, because that's one of the weirdest things in the world. Is that you can watch somebody on TV yawn and you yawn. Can we get an expert on to talk about yawning? I mean, it is the home run. You're yawning again? Just me talking about it. It's tough, man. It's tough. All right, we'll do a lot of Illini basketball information next. It is The Drive. Don't you be yawning again out there. Somebody's yawning in their car right now.